StatRackCoach.com podcast series, episode number 141 with Dr. German Al-Qahtani from Saudi Arabia. Great advice to keep learning new surgical techniques for the entirety of your career. Welcome back to our Cataract Coach podcast. And today I have a very special friend, my very dear friend from Saudi Arabia, Dr. German Al-Qahtani. Hello, my friend. Good to see you again.
Hello. Nice to meet you. I'm very happy to be as a guest in your podcast, which is to me the most famous podcast of ophthalmology in the world. And very happy to be with a very distinguished international cataract surgeon, Uday. What can I say? I'm really, really very proud of you and of your work.
Oh, thank you. We all have fun together. We learn together. But you're right. This has become now the top podcast in all of ophthalmology. It's amazing.
Yes,
so
exactly.
We've taught together. We've lectured together in many countries now. I've seen you maybe a dozen countries, 12 countries, 15 countries even. You travel a lot as well.
Yes, exactly. You know, throughout 28 years of experience, I will tell you just the quick cascade. I have academic journey, fellowship journey, two subspecialty journey, India long journey, charity journey, lots of things to be said.
So yes, tell me.
From where we start, I can start from the academic.
Let's talk about the academics for sure.
You know, I was raised in a family which is a very simple family. You know, Saudi Arabia is a very large country. The surface area is about 830,000 square miles. So my father came from the south to the north, which is, if you go by airplane, it is about 5 hours. So, and he settled in the north, and he was a simple man. He studied elementary and intermediate school, and then he joined an oil company, which is called American Arabian Oil Company.
Aramco.
Aramco, exactly. And they were giving him books, 5 books, book one, book two, book three, book four, all are English books. And he used to bring it to house, and he said, also with me, you have to study English. And we were in the intermediate school. So he raised us. And when we reached the secondary school, he sit with us. We are three brothers. And he told us, what do you like to do? We said, we are thinking. He said, you want my advice? We said, what is it? He said, I want you to be physicians. And my oldest brother, he went, he became a general surgeon. And I became ophthalmologist, and my youngest brother became family medicine.
Oh, fantastic. How did you get interested in ophthalmology?
You know, during studying medicine 6 years, I was looking for something which gives the patient quick relief. With patient, they get the appreciation fast. So right. I find ophthalmology is the best. And within ophthalmology, I was thinking of cataract.
Yes.
And the third thing is that I don't like to stay in the hospital on call.
I think we are all very similar like that. For me too, the first time I saw a patient having white cataract and having a cataract surgery, phaco, it was a miracle. I couldn't believe it.
Exactly. Yeah. See, and then I joined, you know, the program in 1990, the ophthalmology program. And by the way, it was the first ophthalmology program approved in Saudi. It was in the east coast of Saudi, an area called Dammam, which is close to Bahrain. It was approved to give fellowship in 1983. And this program started with 2 residents only.
Well, small.
And now they, about several hundreds of graduate from Saudi, from Gulf countries, and they are serving their countries. So I started in 1990, and I spent 4 years. And excuse me, during our discussion, I have to say something. I have to give tributes to my teachers.
Of course.
There are five people, two passed away, but they are in my heart. And three is still alive. And the first one is this guy. This is originally from Italy, and he has Swedish nationality. And he came to our university in 1981. And he, with one Saudi guy from the old batch, the Saudi guy, he got the American board. So he, with him, they initiated the program. But this is the real man who was behind the success of the program, was spending day and night. And every year when I was, his name is Maurizio Pandolfi. He's from Italy, and he's from such, he's a real Catholic. He's a type A personality. He's perfectionist. He's doing excellent job. And every year I spend with him time, he said, your hand is excellent in surgery. So he was giving a positive feedback. And I finished 4 years in the department. And as soon as I finish, you know, we cannot get consultant till you finish 2 years being a specialist. So he took me with him and he told me, you would operate my cases.
Wow.
I did with him 200 trabeculectomy because he was doing cataract and glaucoma. And I did with him about 1,000 ECCE.
Wow, busy.
You know, at our time, even till I came back from the States, it was only extracapsular. I came back from the States 2000. Okay. So it was only extracapsular. Actually, the first week I joined in 1990, I find people are doing in the department intracapsular.
Wow.
We did intracapsular for 6 months. And I was frightened because one time, one of the senior resident by mistake, when he was removing the nucleus, he removed the whole iris with it.
Oh boy, oh no.
But thanks God that the patient was from, you know, he was large arcosinalis.
Oh, a lot of arcosinalis, so like, kind of like a fake iris.
Yes, and the cataract was very, it was, you know, finger count.
Yes.
So he was appreciating. So most of our job was extracapsular cataract, ECCE surgery.
Right.
It was really, and it was, you know, in our older days, under GA.
For sure.
Yes. Especially with our professor, Swedish professor. He is very type A and wants things to be done right. I have done a lot of extracapsular. Then after I graduated, I stayed with him 2 years, from 1995 to 1997. And the first month I joined him, I shifted to retrobulbar anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
And he got angry. He said, German, there's a medical legal. Why do you do my cases under local? Why didn't you do under GA? I told him, please come with me. And he came 3 days. And you know, the retrobulbar is a very good anesthesia.
For sure.
And he stayed with me 3 days and he said, go ahead, do whatever you like. So I did with him about 1,000 extracapsular and I did with him 200 trap. And then I applied in 1997 for fellowship, another fellowship. So I finished, the first fellowship was anterior segment. Another fellowship, which is ocular pathology in the States. And I was the first graduate to apply for international fellowship from the department.
Which department is this?
Huh?
Which program? Which university?
It's called King Faisal University, Dammam.
Oh, fantastic.
In the East. I was the first graduate from the fellowship to do international. So I sent three letters to three eminent guys in USA. The first guy is Daniel Albert. You know Daniel Albert?
No, refresh my memory. I don't recall.
The one who has six volumes book with Frederick Jacobiak.
Oh, Jacobiak and Albert. Albert Jacobiak, got you.
Yes. I sent to him, and he's in Wisconsin. I told him I would like to do with you 2 years of fellowship in ophthalmic pathology. He said to me, you are welcome, but there's a problem. I have little eye pathology, and Wisconsin is too much cold. You cannot come. It's minus 30.
Yeah.
But I would advise you to go to the AFIP, to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Armed Forces Institute of Pathology.
Yes. It was really famous, most famous in the world to do pathology. And the second guy I sent to him is Marion Yanov. You know Yanov?
Yanov, sure.
Yes, he was in Philadelphia, and he told me, you are welcome, but I have little pathology. I would advise you to go with Zimmerman in AFIP. So I sent to the chairman of the ocular pathology. You know, Zimmerman that year was retired, but he still worked in the department.
Okay.
And the chairman is one of his fellows. His name is Ian McLean. Ian McLean, he's a very famous man. They call him the melanoma man. I sent to him, and he told me, you are welcome, but you have to take care of one point. You know, Washington, D.C. is very expensive. You have to do other work to maintain your life.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, thanks God, we are gifted because we are taken care by our government. Don't worry about financial. He said, then you are come. So I joined them in July 1997. And I will tell you a joke.
Tell me.
But keep it between me and you.
Okay. You know, okay. 10,000 off the muscle will hear it, but go ahead.
You know, I was interested to see during intermediate and secondary school the police fence.
Okay.
I like, you know, have you heard about Inspector Kojak?
Inspector Kojak, that's a long time ago. That's like a TV show from 1970s. Yes.
And Joe Mannix?
I don't know that one.
And also, I was interested to see the cowboy, John Wayne, and Kirk Douglas.
Sure.
So I see criminals. I said, when I step down and from the airplane, I am afraid that somebody might face me with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So we came to Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Me and my wife. And Abdurrahman, you saw Abdurrahman in Copenhagen.
Sure, your son.
You know, his age at that time was 2 years.
Oh, just a little one.
So we came down to Reagan National, and everything was okay, fine. And I lived the first 6 months in Maryland, in Rockville, an area called Bethesda, which is there's the NIH was there.
Yeah, Bethesda, Maryland, the NIH, for sure.
Yes. I stayed, but and it was very close to the FIB, Armed for Walter Reed. It took me 20 minutes to go to and come back. But my wife, she wants more communities, diverse community. And we went to Virginia, to Falls Church, and we find many diverse Indians, all of that. And I stayed all the remaining days in Falls Church, and I was used to drive my car every day through the 495 Beltway, and I faced the White House always. Was very close to me.
Yeah.
Before they surround it. So I go in the 16th Street every day and come back. The White House is in my right side. And it was really, I stayed 2 years. It was one of my best 2 years in my life. People are nice, and chairman. And this is my first hero was Maurizio Bandolfi. This is my second hero. This is Ian McLean, who was the chairman. He passed away. That's why I still remember in my heart. He passed away in 2004. And he was they call him the melanoma man. And I will tell you what happened with him. He's very nice. He's Scottish origin. I joined July 1997, and then 2 months after, there was a big meeting in the FIP.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a case which is fetus. They did autopsy, and they sent the eye to us, and we enucleated the eye, and we saw optic nerve aplasia.
Mm.
There was no optic nerve.
Very unusual. And
the meeting was in September, and he told me, German, I would like you to present this case. I said, okay. And then the day all the people came, I saw in the first row 20 guys, the most famous people in the USA. Just name them, Donald Gass.
You sure?
Frederick Jakobik, Spencer Thornton.
Oh, I love him. He was a great, loved Spencer Thornton, the best.
Just name any guy who's famous, he was sitting in the first row.
Sure.
So my face started to be yellow. I was like shivering. Because I used in my department to present in front five or six people.
Right.
But suddenly, I present in front of the man who I study his book, Macula.
Right.
Yes. And Jerry Shield was there. All David Cameron from Rochester. So all of them were sitting in the first row, Ian McLean was sitting in the periphery, and he missed me. He said, "German, come." He saw my face is not a normal face. He said, "Come and sit next to me." There was an empty chair in the close near these guys. I told him, no, it's okay. He said, no, come. So I came to him and sit close to him, and he said, take it easy. And then just 5 minutes before my presentation or 10 minutes before my presentation, he said, go in the stage, and there was a curtain. He said, go behind the curtains. Because the man who is before me came and he wanted me to go behind him. And the, you know, I realized later he wanted psychologically to quieten me. So I went behind the curtain and I was shivering more and my face was yellow more. but I think it was okay. Then my presentation came and I presented about optic nerve aplasia. I don't know what I said in the first minute. I finished, and then there was a guy from Rochester, name is David Cameron. He stand up, and he said like this. I know him because he came to us in Dammam, and he gave us a course in ocular pathology. But, you know, I didn't forget it for him. He gave me more psychological support, and all of them, they were happy. But believe me, that that moment has pushed me up so much that I was presenting every year in the ACRS, and I present verbally.
Right.
So I jumped over the mountain.
Yeah, that's a skill set we all have to learn. It's not easy.
Yes. And then I almost finished the 2 years, and you know, we used to sign out every day 30 to 40 cases from different states, from different countries, and I will tell you a joke about this famous man. You know, if he sent any article to the American Journal, they accept it directly. Dr. Ian McLean, very, very known. I'll tell you a joke. We had a case from Italy, and they send it, and I read the paper for him. What is the diagnosis? Atypical conjunctival nevus. And we signed, we saw under the microscope together. And I read in the last of the page, they say, we are interested to report this case with you, with Dr. McLean. He told me, I am not interested. I told him, Dr. McLean, I thought he's busy. If you are not interested, I can publish this case with them. And he started loving.
Wow, he said, you know,
He said, you know, they want to use my name.
Right.
They want to use my name because if I put my name, it will be accepted.
Right.
So it was, that was really a great joke. But 2 years I spent in the States, Virginia and the FIB, it was one of the best 2 years in my life. I came back to the department 2000, and as soon as I came, I was appointed to be the chairman of the department for 8 years. And also I was a member of the scientific committee of the whole Saudi ophthalmology for 8 years. And also I was a member of the scientific committee for the whole Arab board for another 10 years. It was full of academic and teaching.
Sure.
And when I was in the States, I used to, every week, to go to Wilmer. I drive my car from Washington, D.C. to Wilmer. It takes me about 1 hour and a half to Baltimore. I attend the activities. And when I was attending the activity, I used to hear fellows. They say, we are going to India. I said, why do you go to India? You are in Wilmer. They say, so what? Wilmer will give us the basics, but the main exercise is in India.
The hands-on, the surgery.
So they put it in my mind. I came back to the Saudi in 2000, and the life was there, extracapsular. No FACO at all. So I applied for my chairman. He was Saudi, old batch. He had the American board since a long time. I told him I want to go to India to do course. He said, are you sure? I said, yes. He said, think about it. Are you sure you want to go to India? I said, yes. And I joke with him. I said, besides this, I like the Indian food, the spicy. Because I know since fellows and residents from John Hopkins going to India, there must be something excellent in India.
For sure.
Yes. So I applied and he accepted in the paper. And you know, it takes about 2 months for the papers to be processed in the university. And they will sponsor you financially and they give you the ticket. I didn't wait for 2 months. I went 10 days after on my account.
Hmm.
I was just, I left to learn.
So where did you go in India? Where did you go in India?
I will tell you, I stepped down in Indira Airport. I went to a place called Noida, called Chaudhary Hospital, which is about half an hour from Indira Gandhi Airport. It's a city, small city, industrial city. About half an hour. I stayed 2 weeks with them and I did stop and shop. I came back to the department. Still, the mentality is ECCE. I tried my best and the colleagues, after I went, all the department colleagues, they went to India.
Mm-hmm.
And they did stop and shop. And things were running good, but you know, we are from type of surgeons. We are so expert in extracapsular. And we see the patient cornea next days is crystal clear. But with FACO, you are doing FACO, you are close to the endothelium, you are afraid from the posterior capsule, you get corneal edema.
Yeah.
So, still, I remember the incident. One of my colleagues, senior colleagues, he did a FACO, stop and chop for a lady. And her vision preoperatively was about 20 over 25. And she came next day, the vision is 20 over 200. And she was crying. Why? Why become I blind? And he was telling her, this is edema, it will disappear. Her crying affected me so much that pushed me to think about FACO chop.
Right. You got to put less energy in the eye.
Yes. So I went to the academy. I was attending the ASRS every time. And there was a guy, and he's my third hero.
Oh, David Chang, for sure. Great guy.
I like his charisma. I like him when he talks. That was in 2003. This is in 2003. See, he's still young, and I am still young.
Well, yeah.
So I went with him. You know, I want to attend the course, and I want to catch him. You know, when you sit close by somebody, he gives you some energy. So what I did, I bought from Saudi a nice wallet and a good pen, very expensive pen. And I attended his course. And after the course, I said, Dr. Chang, can you accept this gift from me? He said, wow, this is for me. I said, yes. He said, this is too much. Please come with me, he told me. He took me to the bookstore in the exhibition, and he took his book, the FACO, Job Optimizing, you know, his book.
Sure.
And he wrote in the first page, to Dr. Jerma Gahtani, I hope one day you will be one of the best FACO job surgeons in Saudi. Oh, wow, that was too much for me. That really exploded me. He gave me a mission, and I continued in that mission. You know, for his nice words, I traveled to India more than 10 times.
Wow.
I had many Indian friends, like Saurabh Patwardhan, many Deepak Edward, all of them are close friends of mine. But because he wrote in the first page in paper, I hope you will be one of the best FACO chop surgeons in Saudi, he pushed me a lot.
Right.
So I remember this man so much. And I was invited to Ibomic, and the president of Ibomic, Dr. Saleh, you know him?
Sure, of course. I'll be in Ibomic in December coming up in Dubai.
He told me, I will join you with your lovely friend. And oh, he joined us together, and we did a complicated cataract session. So this man means a lot to me. The third man, which really means a lot to me, he taught me something which I get it from him, not from others. Is this guy?
Of course, Amar Agarwal.
In the end of 1980s, I was attending I was recently still a resident, and I was attending the ASRS, and I was in one room. All Americans are getting inside the room. And I was looking to the screen, and they say it is a satellite symposium, and the surgeon is from India. I was looking strange. All Americans are looking at this, and the surgeon is from India, and he's doing FACONET through cataract through FACO through 1.2.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, FACONET, FACO, and then NIT stands for needle technology. Needle incision technology. So he was doing FACO. It was amazing. At the time, people were doing it by manual. He was doing with first 1 millimeter incisions, then 900 micron incisions, then eventually even FACO through 2 700 micron incisions.
Yeah. He put so much energy inside me. He's every time with his longest day session.
Sure.
He was sending messages to me in heart that we are surgeons, we do mistakes, and you will be a good surgeon.
Right.
So I like Amar so much. I like Dr. Amar.
He's brilliant.
He's brilliant, innovator. He's a good man. He invited me in 2006 as a faculty in the Indian implant in Chennai. The last man, this guy is one of my
heroes. Sure. Dr. Sam Maskett, amazing.
Sam Maskett. You know, 2021, I had a patient who got a trauma, severe trauma by a hanger. You know, this hanger.
Sure.
It's made of steel. He had a big trauma, and the trauma was left for about 10 hours. And the lens was explanted. by itself. Iris was out. So he came to me and I sutured the eye, and the remnant of the iris was about 10% or 20%. Thanks God that he did not get endophthalmitis. But after surgery, he suffered a lot from glare. And his vision with pinhole was correctable to 0.5.
Okay.
So what shall I do for him? I don't want to use the older ways of treating, for reconstructing the iris. So I realized there is a human optic, and they have the artificial foldable iris.
Sure.
So I want to break the problems. I contacted them. They said, you are the first guy in Saudi who contact us. The first surgeon in which you will do this surgery. You have to take a course. So I paid 500 euros. And they took a course for about 3 hours. And then I passed the exam. And then I found myself in between these surgeons, iris reconstructing surgeons. Sam Maskett, Michael Schneider, Kevin Miller. So I would like to approach, I approached Sam. I know Sam, he's a very nice person.
Sure.
And I had really, this man is a great man. I had Zoom meeting one-on-one with him many times. He was giving me description, scientific, psychological push. Mm-hmm. And so I got this iris, they sent it to me from Germany. And I sutured, they send you something to try, which is not sterile, and they send you the sterile one. So I tried, I have a microscope from China at house. I tried on it, and then I did the surgery in one day alone. It's good that we don't do it every day. It is very difficult. Right.
That's for sure. The prosthetic irises are tough to do, not easy.
Prosthetic. Yeah. So I sutured the lens to the iris, and I sutured the complex into the eye, and the patient vision improved to 0.5, back to 0.5. The patient was very happy, but wow. it was really, this man is one of my heroes, really. See, he was so humble to tell me, yes, I am a non-prosthetic iris, but this typical surgery, which is suturing artificial foldable iris to a foldable lens, is not me. It's Michael Schneider who did it first.
You're right.
You know, my last hero, but not the least, is this guy.
Oh, my gosh, you're too sweet. that's a picture of me from, that's like at least 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now look at me. Now look what happened to me.
Still, you are handsome. I want our young ophthalmologist to know that if you get the fellowship and you say, I am the best surgeon, then you destroyed yourself. You have to be humble. You right. Day. Now, with my fast experience, I have done intracapsular. I am good in extracapsular. I am good in phaco chop. I am good in manual small incision. I went and learned the technique with M.S. Ravindra, which is mini small incision through 5 millimeters. So yeah. If I know that you do technique, I didn't mind to visit you and see you. So we have to be humble for our young ophthalmologist. So this is my last hero.
Oh, you're too nice.
And I still remember these days.
Oh my gosh, look at that, long time ago. That's in a wet lab, maybe at ASCRS or something, or somewhere.
This is not butcher. He's a surgeon.
I know. I'm wearing a, that's me from, probably 20 years ago.
Yes.
We both look so young.
I think it was in 2012, and they opened the room, and the course director was Dr. Arbisar.
Oh, Lisa Arbisar, she's great.
Yes, she's great, and she's nice. I had the pictures with her. And the minute they opened the room, I saw you. I went quickly to you. And he said to me, you smiled to me. He said, please sit. And he told me what grade of cataract you would like to do. I said, +4. And you looked at me like this. You said, okay. And you said to me, what technique you would like to use? I said, phaco chop. And then you gave me another look. And I remember the phaco machine was infinity. And then we started. As I start, I divided to four pieces. And I still remember your statement. You said, why you are doing the FAQ course?
You're so good, right?
I told you, because I want to chat with you. And then we set aside and we had scientific chatting about FAQ and cataract. It was really, you are a big teacher and a nice surgeon and a good-hearted surgeon.
We all try. But I think the important thing, like you said, is that we all keep learning forever. You always, yes. every day, every week, every month, you have to keep learning.
You know, last time in Barascas, we were invited, and you, and 2 years back in Rio. After we finished the Rio meeting, I went with Nito and the airplane together to Sao Paulo. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in a public hospital, and I did with him FAQ in the public hospital.
Nice.
But he's amazing.
He's Superman. This is Neto Rossatelli. He is a Brazilian surgeon who operates like magic. It's amazing.
You know, his FAQ machine is Constellation. We, as anterior segment surgeons, we don't like the Constellation. Yeah. It's a hard machine. And he's putting the hardest setup.
Yeah.
I did 3 cases with him, and it went okay. I didn't want to change the setup because there are many patients waiting. But he's really amazing. I saw him doing the FAQ in 2 minutes.
Well, beautiful surgery. Right now, for the young doctors, don't worry. It's not about speed. Don't try to be fast. Yes. It's more important to be smooth and to be good.
Yes, yes.
But he's an incredible surgeon. We've had him on the podcast. We've had his videos before. He's incredible.
Yes. We invited him in our last year in our meeting, and he came back to from. We invited him in our meeting, the big meeting of Saudi in the West Coast, and after the meeting, he came to me in house in the East Coast, and he stayed with me 3 days.
Oh, fantastic!
Remember, I showed you he's wearing our clothes.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, he's wearing the
yeah. He spent the 3 days with us. So life really is full of. Experience, but the most important I learned from life is to be humble and to thank people whom you learned from.
Right, for sure, absolutely for sure. Yeah, to keep learning. That's for sure. To keep learning. Always have that drive or the desire, the thirst to want to improve yourself.
Yes, exactly.
So that's.
I went, you know, from my experience, I went in the second year to Africa, to a place called Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
It's close to Ethiopia.
Sure.
And we did 300 cases in 5 days. It was in the second year, it was intracapsular in Africa. Do you know the knives, for the cutting the beard, which you cut to halves?
Okay, you have to use that.
Yes, we cut them to 2 halves and we put it in a
blade holder.
Yes, and we sterilize it and we open the eye with it.
Wow.
In Africa. And we did, I did about in 3 days myself alone. I was second year. I did 40 cases, which was good.
Right.
So we learned every part of cataract surgery I have done. And it is really a problem now with the young surgeons. They learn FAQ alone.
Oh, we've been saying for the longest time, you have to learn how to do some sort of extracapsular surgery like ECCE, but even better, you must learn how to do M6, MSICS. You have to learn.
Yes, yes. I have some of my colleagues who are excellent in FAQ, but when it comes to complications, they say, can you complete it as ECCE? They do not. So you have to learn, you have to travel. You know, my life, because I traveled to the States, and then after traveling to the States, came back 2000, every year I attend the ASRS. I will tell you a moment of which you will love. In 2014, I attended the ASRS. And there was a FAQ chop session. And the speaker was, you know, the shorter guy, American. He was ex-president of the SRS. He loves a signature machine. I forget his name, but he was talking about Feku chop, horizontal Feku chop in plus five NS, NS. And he was having big chopper, bulky. And after he finished the presentation, he said, any question? I am from the school of David Chang.
Okay.
Plus three and above, it's better to do vertical chop with the needle.
Yeah.
Plus one, plus two, plus three, you can do horizontal chop. So I told him, your cataract is very hard, almost brown all. You did it superb, but don't you think for us as a general surgeons that we might override the capsule with this big chopper? So I am from the school of David Chang. I would like to use a needle and hold the, yes. And he was sitting in the stage. He was standing in the stage, maybe 50 meters from me. You know, when I asked him the question, he did not answer, but he was looking at me like this. I was strange. I felt strange. Why he's looking at me? So I looked to the left, and there was a lady called Natal Afshari. You know her?
Oh, Natalie Afshari from UC San Diego. She's fantastic.
Yeah. I looked at her. She said to me,
thumbs up.
That means, yes, you ask the question which you want to ask him. I forget his name. He gets angry fast, but he's a nice man.
He came
to me like this. And then after 2 minutes, he came down all the way from the stage to me. And he shouted at me. He said, do you know the last time I used a sharp needle in the eye when I was doing extracapsular 40 years ago?
Okay.
So don't use it. I said, I am sorry, but that was a feeling. You are right. And then he finished answering questions. And then after finishing the questions, he came back going out. He told me, can we sit together? And we sit outside. He bring me two coffees, one for me and for him. And he opened his laptop and he showed me. He said, look at me. Yes, my chopper is bulky and this is hard cataract. What I do is I create a small crater for passing of my chopper. Mm. That's what I do. I'm sure you know him, this guy. I tell him, he became later one of my closest friends. He's very short and very nice. He was a president of the SRS a long time ago.
That's great. No, it's important. It's important to develop new ideas. You got to learn new techniques for sure. All important. Now, tell me, that's been an amazing journey then. So now, what's your current practice like in Saudi? Where are you practicing? Are you doing academic? You're doing private? You're doing both?
I was doing, working in the university is a hard job because you have to teach, you have to train, you have to do lectures, you have to do sometimes also part-time outside. I do sometimes charity, so it was really difficult for me. I just had early retirement since 1 year, and I am focused now in private. So I am doing private in three hospitals. I have one day clinic, one day OR, one day clinic, and I'm very happy. And I'm doing charity work. I go, small villages. I take all what I need. I take three PCI all lens with me all the time. I take sometimes Feku machines. So I do charity every 2 to 3 months. I go for 3 days and come back. But most of my work now is private.
In a private clinic. Yeah. And then your practice is mostly cataract. What do you do primarily, cataract?
I was doing TRAB, a lot of TRAB, but I stopped because in our department, we got some people doing fellowships in glaucoma. And, trabeculectomy needs follow-up and follow-up and follow-up.
Right.
Whereas cataract, you do the surgery and the patient will smile or go. So I am focused on treating cataract, complicated cataract, suturing the lens IOLs, doing iris clip for aphakia, doing Yamani technique. All of these I do. Prosthetic iris.
So also, is it not just cataract? You're also doing very complex anterior segment, like reconstruction, yes, in very tough cases.
Yes, yes. We are doing it from time to time. I am from the batches which I like. This is a personal favor. I like suturing the lens to the ciliary body. I used a lot of 10-0, but nowadays I use 9-0. And it's because there have been reports of the dilution of the sutures. So 9-0. I like also the iris clip, but I like to do the iris clip from the posterior. I don't like to put it in front of the iris.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have iris clip IOLs in the USA.
It is not my favorite technique. Yeah. I like Yamani technique, is easy. Although I don't, this is a personal opinion, I don't think Yamani technique will continue as because the lens is not set for Yamani, and because of the tilt. Because yes, we have BVDF, but these BVDF haptics can sometimes cause iris capture. Personally, I might be right or wrong, I don't think this technique will continue. It might be replaced by another good technique. Still, the best technique is suturing the IOL to the ciliary body.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you want a permanent solution. You've got scleral fixation with Gore-Tex, Ato Gore-Tex, 4-point fixation of an IOL with a 4 haptic gland. That's not going to go anywhere ever.
Yes.
That's probably the most stable. Yeah, I think the challenge you have with the Yamane is, or Yamane is the correct way of saying it. The problem you have with the Yamane is that you need to have a sufficiently long tunnel length. So if you compare like Agarwal's glued IOL technique, when he makes those Shariath tunnels, that to me ends up being far more stable.
Yes.
When people do Yamane, the tunnel length in the sclera is just too short.
You just imagine, even you sometimes you go inside the eye without tunneling. You don't see the tunnel. But the glue, I think the glue is also one of the best techniques of fixing the IOL.
Right. No, I think so. I think the two. The other thing is that if you're doing any of these scleral fixated lenses, well, you really have to make sure you don't get vitreous entangled in the haptics. Because we're seeing now some of these patients who get Yamane and then they didn't get enough anterior vitrectomy done. During the procedure, you see that optic go partway in the mid vitreous and then it comes back up. And now the lens is pulling on the vitreous and you have macular traction and the patients have chronic macular edema.
Yes. I had 3 cases done by colleagues with iris capture. I find that the haptics BVDF.
Mm.
And BVDF is good for implanting and the technique implanting the lens, but it's good in the long run because
the PVDF material is better that it won't break when you are doing the surgery. And afterward, it's probably not stiff enough. And so you can have too much motion or movement of the lens and therefore get the iris capture.
So what I did for these 3 cases, I did YAG laser iridotomy and the lens went back.
Interesting.
Yes. But my best technique is suturing the lens to the ciliary body.
Right.
I'm doing a lot. Recently, I became interested in a cross chop.
Oh, tell me about that.
This is a technique like what Akahoshi is doing. Akahoshi is dividing the nucleus without phaco power.
Right.
That is what is exactly Brian Kim is doing.
Yeah,
he's dividing the nucleus without phaco power. But his chamber is not like the Nagahara, which is 1 millimeter. His chamber is 2.4 or 2.3 millimeter. So okay. it is really long chamber. It's like I call it my sixth finger, like Nito chamber.
Sure.
So So I do the phacon without power. I divide the nucleus without any power. Exactly same like a Kahushi, but it is what is difference from a Kahushi? There is no expensive instruments, no bridge cover, and I don't go inside the eye several times. I go with the phaco machine, with the chopper, and then I divide the chopper against the phaco tip.
Right.
And it's really nice. It is Brian Kemp technique. I love it really.
Yeah, there are a lot of great techniques. Let me tell you, when I was teaching residents, and they're just starting phaco number 1, 2, 3, 4, they don't know how to operate yet. I will go in the eye, beginning of the case, you do your rexus, we do the hydro dissection. I will use just a cannula, 27-gauge cannula in one hand, my Nagahara chopper in the other, and I'll go in the eye, hold the nucleus with the cannula, chop it in half, chop it in quarters, and then I say, okay, now you can put the phaco probe, take the quarters, take each quarter out. Done. So you can chop it with anything. You can chop it with a 27-gauge cannula. I promise. It's very easy.
Yeah, that's good. You know, my advice to the young surgeon, be humble. I remember I sent to you one time a surgery. I think you will remember if I tell you now. I override the capsule and I caused the zonular dialysis.
Sure, local. We've all done that.
And you told me, you sent me by email, Dr. German, shall I put anomalous or put your name? Mm-hmm. I told you, please put my name.
Right.
So that people know, even if I am expert surgeon, I do mistakes. And the story came like this. During my charity, I went to a small city. I find the lady, her age is 70. She has cataract in one eye and aphakia in one eye. And then I did for her Yamani technique here. And I did the cataract in the other eye. And then it happened that I know the one who did for her and get complications. He's my friend, but he's in another area. I told him, your patient is fine. I did for her Yamani. You know what he told me?
Hmm.
He told me, I don't do complications. My surgery are clean. That's why I sent to you my video, my surgery, to tell people we do complications.
We all like, do, everyone.
Yes, like Dr. Ammar when he comes and say the longest day. That's right. Why I like this man so much.
Of course, I think we learn the most from our complication cases. And you know, even when I put cataract coach videos, complications are the most popular.
But your cataract coach cataractcoach.com is spoiling the young surgeons. Everything is in front of them. Everything is classified. Everything is ready.
Right.
You just open and see. It was not in my time. I was waiting for the videotapes of Bob Osher.
Oh, Osher's the best. He's the godfather for sure.
Yes. You know, I met him, in Vienna. Every time I attend the ASRS, I like his session, the video journal. So in Vienna, I was sitting in the stage and waiting for Bob to come. Suddenly, in the screen, they told him, they brought his recording, that he has some family problem, he cannot come. I don't know, do you remember?
I don't remember when this one was.
So I was psychologically prepared to see him at stage. Yeah. You know, Uday, when he was telling recording, I say, I cannot come because of familial problem. I please excuse me. You know, my tears came down.
Yeah.
We are attached to ASRS through this man. And I sent, when I came back to Saudi, I sent email to him. Bob, we missed you in Vienna. And believe me, my tears came down because I didn't see you. He said to me, thank you very much. I would like to see you as a person when you come to the ASRS.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
So, but now Cataract Coach really is doing a great job. I think you are unbeatable. Nobody can do like you at all.
No, I'm just, believe me, I'm just a regular guy, but we work hard to make the videos. The nice part is a young surgeon today can learn in 1 year what took me 10 years.
I wonder, do you have a team with you doing the job?
Yes, I'm the team.
You are the only one?
That's the only one man. Because here's the problem. Even I'm in Los Angeles, I can go get a Hollywood video editor and hire them, right?
Yes.
But if the person doesn't know ophthalmology, the video editor doesn't understand what is capsular excis. How can you get a 30-minute video and I say edit it down to 5? He doesn't know what's important. You have to be an ophthalmologist.
You are really a very gifted man, and because I thought you have a group of people helping you and making and preparing. You is amazing. You are really amazing, doing amazing job.
Well, I work a lot on airplanes. I was just speaking in Mexico, in Oaxaca, Mexico, at FACO Fest. The flight down was 4 hours from LA to Oaxaca, and then the flight back is 4 hours. On the flight down, I made 7 videos on my laptop, everything except the voiceover because the plane's too noisy. And then on the ride back to Los Angeles yesterday, I made 7 more videos.
Well,
And
that's
so now I
amazing.
put them all in the queue. And now you normally have about 1 month already lined up in the queue. Wait, it posts automatically every day.
Really, I'm really very proud of you today.
Oh,
You
thank
are
you. I actually learn a lot by making the videos because I get 50 or 60 videos sent to me every single week. And
Oops.
if you're listening to my podcast and you want to send a video for Cataract Coach, you don't go to YouTube. You go to cataractcoach.com. What I say every time, go to the website. There's a link that says submit your video here, instructions. But yeah, I get 50 or 60 videos a week. I download all of them. I watch all of them, and I choose the best ones so that we can all learn together.
That's really great. I think you are doing a great job to the residents everywhere. They only have to go one time to India to do hands-on, and then when they watch Yamani in your or any technique in your cataract, they as if they are sitting with the surgeon.
Right, you can learn for sure.
Yes.
It's really neat. It's just a, it's a the world's a really neat place now. I mean, there's so much technology. So the ability to learn is just so amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we've started the retina rounds also for our retina colleagues. Retina
And
rounds.
look, that's key. Good. And you are also including glaucoma, isn't it?
Yeah, on Cataract Coach, we do everything anterior segment. So cataract, glaucoma, cornea, refractive.
And
And
retina
then
now.
retinarounds.com is our sister channel. Retina Rounds does everything retina. And so the only thing we don't have covered now, we don't have orbital surgery or strabismus surgery.
No, that's too much. It's too much for you.
I can't do it. I don't have the expertise. Like for even for Retina Rounds, I'm not doing the videos. It's my good friend, my colleague, Dr. Pradeep Prasad, who is a retina specialist. He's amazing. So I'll stick to anterior segment. He'll do all posterior segment. And then maybe in the future, if I find someone who's very energetic and wants to work hard, we can do strabismus one and also orbit or oculoplastic one. But those are areas that I don't have enough expertise.
Yes, but it will be a giant job.
Yeah,
It
but
will
I
not
think
be easy.
it's a great way of learning, though. It really is a great way of learning. The learning in small bites, just a few minutes every day. I think
Yes,
you
yes.
learn better than trying to sit there for a few hours. It's too hard. But if it's on your mobile phone and you just say, okay, let me watch a video, the new video today, I can watch it on my phone, done. Even now, the general I've noticed over the last few years, last 2, 3 years, the Instagram views climbing faster and faster and faster. And so I think now a lot of the younger doctors are following my videos on Instagram and not just on YouTube.
Oh,
But some of
that's
the
really
Instagram, it's really quite impressive. Like, I mean, you can't believe. And if I show you in the last on Instagram in the last 1 month, in 30 days, the last 30 days, I've gotten
Oh
almost
my goodness.
7 million views in 30 days. And that is here, last 30 days.
Yes, exactly. That's too much. It's
It's
really
crazy.
good.
Crazy stuff. There it is for the other people who want to see it. It's
Yeah,
really
that's
wild.
this put more stress in you to pursue excellence.
Oh, it's fun. I'm enjoying the videos. We're 2,700 and something videos. So we have a lot of videos.
Do you find time for your family?
Yeah, for sure. But like I said, my children are grown up. They're living out away, not in Los Angeles, so they're in their 20s. They have their own life. I only end up seeing them a few times a year because they're USA is a big place. I mean, to
Yes,
see my kids, I got to get on an airplane. I can't see them easily. And so they have their
that's
own life, but not, and that's why I'm also traveling to do. Similar to you, I think we're similar in age. I also stopped doing university duties a few years ago, and now I just do my private clinic. And then I love to travel. I'd like to do cataract coach stuff. I do projects. Have you seen what the robot we just published? I show you the video of the robot surgery. Also, the AI stuff we do with IOL calculations, and obviously cataract coach material. Other co they have a couple other small little companies I'm working with for new ideas. This is what I love, and I
Exactly.
love to see the world. I mean, this year I'll do 23 countries this year alone. I'll see you in Dubai at IPOMEC the first week in December coming up.
Sure, exactly. Sure. Do you do a charity work?
I used to do a lot more. I used to, when my kids were younger, I'd take each of them on a trip. I took my son to Tanzania, like you had been.
Yes.
I took him before COVID, so maybe 2019, maybe it was 2019, 2018, something like this. And then we did a lot of charity cases there. Tanzania was really an incredible experience for me because there's certain things I'd never seen before. In my entire 25 years in practice in the USA, I saw one patient with congenital rubella. Because here, everyone gets MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. So you don't see
Exactly.
it. And that one patient I saw was born outside the US and came here. And then obviously they get congenital cataracts, congenital glaucoma, microcornea, very unusual presentation from the rubella. Well, in Tanzania, in one afternoon, I saw 30 patients with it.
Oh my goodness.
Right. We're at one of the big hospitals there, and they had their pediatric division in their clinic and seeing patients. In one afternoon, I saw 30 kids with it's sad with rubella, problems in the eye, congenital rubella.
It's too much, yeah. In Africa, you expect to see anything.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge. I mean, those are very difficult cases because again, they all have congenital cataracts, congenital glaucoma, and they're microcornea. They may have a corneal diameter of 8 millimeters.
Know, when we went to do our FACO, our ICCE, the best vision was finger count on meter.
Right.
Oh, lots of light perception,
Yeah.
black cataract.
For sure. I mean, if for a young surgeon, if you really want to get your skills up, boy, do charity work and outside your home country, you'll be impressed because you'll have the most difficult cases, but also the most challenges. You may not have the equipment you're used to. You may have to figure it out on the go. You may have some communication challenges with the patient. It is really quite a challenge.
Exactly.
So in the past, I've done many. I did charity trip in Vietnam. I've done throughout in Thailand. We did in Owen, some of these small places, Tonga, in the middle of the South Pacific, the small little island country. I did a trip there. So it's really been a fun experience for us to, I mean, travel the world, see everywhere, and have such sweet patients who are just so appreciative and so kind that, you're helping them. And they, in one way or funny, are also helping you. They're helping you because they're just so happy with their visual outcome. And they give you quite some challenges. So it's been fun. I've done a lot of charity trips. I should probably do another one coming up. So
Exactly, yes.
yeah, definitely encourage that. Well, German, I can't believe we've been talking for already more than 1 hour. That's how much fun we have together.
Really,
Yes, but 1 hour and
I'm
four
really
minutes.
very
Look at that.
happy.
We're like brothers here. It's fun.
Yes, I would like to thank you very much for your inviting me. I was the first Saudi to be in your podcast. We have been friends for the several many years, and hopefully we'll see you in our country one day close up. We would arrange for you a nice trip.
I would love it. That'd be amazing. I want to remind our listeners and viewers, remember, we've got a new Cataract Coach
Together.
podcast every single Sunday. We also have a new Cataract Coach video every single day. Plus, we have our sister channel, Retina Realm. So check it out. And until next time, I'll catch you later.